This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton without Walter Yerkew. He's on his way to the Southeastern Tennessee studios in the Stretch Kia. I believe there's an issue with fuel. I guess they didn't put enough petrol in the gas tank. Anyways, first order of business, as always, we want to remember the fallen officers murdered in the line of duty. Today we want to remember Officer David Kelly Wood of the White Mountain Apache Tribal Police in Arizona. End of watch, February 17th, 2020. He was responding to a call of shots fired. He exchanged fire with a perp. The perp was shot and killed. Also, we need to remember Detective Paul Federico. End of watch, February 17th, 2020. He was a detective with the New York City Police Department. He died of suicide. Again, this is another suicide in the NYPD. I guess he was having some personal problems going on. They took away his badge and gun, and he found another way to end his life. Like Walter and I have said time and time and time again, if you have something going on, if you have problems, please do not become a statistic. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. If you don't want to call them, get a hold of us. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Just get a hold of us. Get a hold of somebody. Please do not be a statistic because we love you. Anyways, second order of business, Mike Bloomberg. Mike Bloomberg and Bill de Blasio. If you watched Twitter or looked on Twitter, Mayor de Blasio praised Bernie Sanders, what a great guy he is. Well, they're birds of a feather because they've done absolutely nothing in their lives, yet both of them are very well-to-do. Mayor de Blasio's son went to Yale. It didn't help. Well, it also helped that he was the mayor's son and he was half black. Bernie Sanders became a millionaire despite having worked in Washington for about 20 years, being the mayor of some Burlington, Vermont, and writing some books. So anyways, also this week we had the debate featuring Mayor Bloomberg, who was getting beat up pretty bad by Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren mentioned that Mayor Bloomberg has been accused of calling women horse-faced lesbians. Now, when I hear the term horse-faced lesbians, guess what? Elizabeth Warren's face comes to mind immediately. So, but they say Warren won, or Warren did one of the best. Bloomberg got slack. But Mayor Bloomberg, he came up with a very good point to Bernie Sanders. He said, for America's most popular socialist, you're a millionaire with three homes. And then Bernie Sanders was absolutely just taken aback, didn't know what to say. Well, I work in Washington. And Mike Bloomberg says, that's your first problem. And I have a home in Burlington, Vermont. And like most Vermonters, I have a camp in Vermont. Where do you live? What tax haven do you live? And Mike Bloomberg said, New York City. As a former city resident, I can tell you that New York City is not a cheap place to live. They tax you to death. That's why everybody's leaving the city. But anyways, Mike Bloomberg is a fake, phony, fraud, self-absorbed creep. In 2001, he ran for mayor as a Republican. At that time, the president, the governor, and the mayor was all Republican. And they were pretty popular, especially Mayor Giuliani, because, again, he cleaned up the city of New York. George Pataki, who was a nobody, signed the death penalty in the law and was trying to run the state of New York, kind of like Giuliani was running the city of New York. So then during his tenure as mayor, Mike Bloomberg became an independent. and then was able to run as the third term, and despite the fact that the city voted for term limits. That's right, New York City voted for term limits, but Mike Bloomberg was able to skate around it and get a third term, and then he started getting into people's lives even more. And then Mike Bloomberg believes that nobody should have guns except his security detail. Then you have something called stop and frisk. Stop and frisk came from a Supreme Court decision that allows law enforcement to stop, question, and possibly frisk a person based on reasonable suspicion. I could tell you that you can't just walk up to somebody because they don't look right, or you got a black guy in a white neighborhood or a white guy in a black neighborhood, even though that, you know, that's something called a clue. If you do stop, question, and frisk somebody, you need to be able to say why you stopped, question, and frisk somebody. You can't say, oh, he don't look right, he don't fit the bill. It's like, all right, well, it's late at night, it's a business, the whole area is closed, there's nothing open. Or you said he was going to visit his mother at 12 o'clock on a Friday, even though most businesses are closed, and he has something, he's got burglar tools, or he's got a gun or something like that. But Mike Bloomberg was caught on tape saying that if you go in the black communities, guess what? The black community carries guns. He said the young people of color between ages of 16 and 25 are the ones committing the crime. So you want to solve crime, you want to bring your crime rates lower, guess what? You're going to put the cops in the black communities or the minority communities and have them do their job. And then Mike Bloomberg backpedaled, said, oh, it's a bad decision. Oh, it's a bad, you know, it's bad on his part. But I could tell you Mike Bloomberg is 100% correct. When I was on the job during roll call, we had BOLOs, or be on the lookout for one of the people, and 99.999% of those people were non-white. And it was, and still is, the minority neighborhoods full of murders, shootings, and general mayhem. And then any cop will tell you that when a white dude is in the hood, they're probably looking for drugs. Bloomberg was also right, saying that to reduce crime in the hood, you'd need to saturate the area with the police and tell them to do their job. It's one thing you have a bunch of cops in the neighborhood, or like say like the riot in Portland or the riot in Baltimore, and the cops just stand down. You know, you just make those cops a target. But if you go in and tell the cops, hey, go do your job, go arrest people, go, you know, make the neighborhood safe, you know, then the cops will do their job, and that's what they're supposed to do. That's what they're paid to do. The people that live in these neighborhoods will be happy. Also, here's something that Police Commissioner Bernie Carrick brought up. He said that no neighborhood, no underprivileged neighborhood will be able to come out of economic despair if you have crime, because no business owner wants to open a business in a crime-ridden neighborhood. All right, that's our first break. Let's see if the Walter put some gas in the stretch Kia. We'll be talking about QAnon, Bill Barr, and anything else that comes to mind. All right, this is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back on 7-5 Radio. Mr. Yerky just texted me. They're putting some gas in the stretch Kia at a Pilot Flying J truck stop. Anyways, next order of business will be trust the plan. What's the plan? There is no plan. Now, for almost 3 years, we kept hearing about the QAnon phenomenon. It's supposed to be some inside source at the White House that has information that puts that is put out on 4chan or 8chan that we have to decipher some sort of code, like a secret decoder ring in our cereal boxes. Allegedly, Q has the ear and the approval of President Trump. Q has put out information such as Epstein and his shenanigans, and then another time he typed the Lord's Prayer the day before the Vatican announced they were considering changes to some of the words of the Lord's Prayer. I asked my source, who is, well, Sean Bergen, if QAnon is real. He said that he believes it's real. And then Donald Trump got his followers in a tizzy when at different rallies he recognized people wearing Q shirts, made the letter Q in the air. And then one time at a rally he said he's been at Washington, D.C. 17 times. Before he became president. Now, the letter Q is a 17th letter of the alphabet. And so, of course, people say, you know, oh, 17 and the Q and blah, 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 blah. You know, I believe Trump was putting it out that, hey, you know, he acknowledges QAnon by, you know, using the number 17. As for me, I do believe there's a Q, but I do not believe it's somebody in the Trump administration or the top cabinet, but somebody who knows things, how things in government works. Or it could be a person like such as Sean Bergen, who is very, very, very informed. I make the joke, Sean Bergen is Q himself. But I also believe there's a deep state that does not have our best interests at stake and that is looking to turn America into a third world country. Just look at the Democratic candidates running for office now. Now, the reason why I'm a doubting Scoop because really nothing has happened. We've heard follow the plan, follow the right white rabbit. Where we go one, we go all, the calm before the storm, and so on. We were told that Hugh Hefner has videos of powerful people in compromising positions and that he blackmailed them, but nothing came up. We were told that big things were coming on certain days. They didn't. We were told that Anthony Weiner had an insurance policy on his laptop that featured despicable acts featuring Hillary Clinton and his wife, Huma Abedin, but we haven't seen anything. We're also told with this laptop, the acts are so despicable that veteran and hardened NYPD detectives became violently ill. Now, mind you, these detectives seen some of the worst thing this planet has to offer, and these guys and girls are just tough as nails. But, and of course, with the age of social media and everybody having a camera, you know, everywhere, or having a phone with a camera, we saw no clips or nothing's been leaked. And again, nobody's going to jail. Then you see in Washington, D.C. itself, nobody goes to jail. You can literally count all the politicians in D.C. that went to jail on one hand. You have Jim Wright, Tom DeLay, Dan Raskinkowski, and Jim Trafficant. Now, Trafficant only went to jail because he spoke the truth. Then you have Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, James Comey, Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, Loretta Lynch. They're free. Then we have Jeffrey Epstein, who was murdered in one of the most secure places on the planet, the Metropolitan Detention Facility. And he was murdered, and the case is closed. And so far we have is Donald Trump being impeached. So, of course, that was just absolute a sham of a trial. And so Donald Trump kept saying that he wanted to drain the swamp. Well, that's very good, because I could tell you personally from experience and seeing it every single day, this place is just an absolute cesspool. Hence, that's why Mr. Edwards came up with the cesspool. Mr. Yerkew, I understand you made it to the studios in Southeast Tennessee.
Yeah, the limo was running late, and I couldn't get a signal inside because it's almost built like the beast.
Well, I heard from anonymous sources, i.e. the driver of the stretch Kia, that you didn't put enough money in the kitty for gas, so you had to push the thing to a pilot flying J to put gasoline in the beast.
Well, actually, it was a little bit of Jack Daniels and vodka into the gas tank to get me here today.
Are you sure you're not the one getting gassed? But anyways, so far I've talked about Mike Bloomberg getting shellacked and his stance on stop and frisk versus his new stance, and how stop and frisk actually helped the police in putting people in jail. Also, I talked about the QAnon phenomenon, how everybody says trust the plan, where we go one, we go all, we're in all this great stuff supposed to happen. But the only thing that happened was Donald Trump got impeached. And now I want to touch on Bill Barr on how he's done much of nothing. I understand you want to talk about our next segment. You want to talk about former police commissioner Bernie Kerik get a jail free card. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be well versed on that.
All right, but right now, in terms of Attorney General William Barr, we need to go back to the 1970s. Bill Barr's father, Doug Barr, was a headmaster at a uppity prep school called the Dalton School in Manhattan, and hired a new math teacher named Jeffrey E. Epstein. Young Jeffrey was 21 years old, had no experience as a teacher, and recently dropped out of college. And surprise, word came out later that Jeffrey Epstein had an issue with the female students. And then, like I said before, there's just so much dirt in this town. You got the Department of Justice refuses to do anything. Here's the crimes that we know about. Clinton body count, 33,000 emails from Clinton, the embezzlement of the Clinton Foundation, Hillary's pay-to-play at the State Department, Joe Biden's Ukraine involvement, Hunter Biden's Ukraine involvement, election fraud from the DNC, the Obama administration spying on Trump, Operation Fast and Furious, Loretta Lynch on the tarmac in Arizona, James Comey, Peter Strzok, and Andrew McCabe from the FBI with their failure to act and their leaking classified information are all free. Now back to Epstein. Go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. I'm just agreeing with
right.
you.
Right. Now back to Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein did some awful things to people, and he hosted numerous parties at various homes to do horrible things with these girls. Some of these people included Bill Clinton, who has 26 or 27 trips on the manifest on his Epstein's private plane called the Lolita Express. Then you have Prince Andrew, who said he stayed over at Epstein's house because he needed a place to stay. I guess he was a little short to get a hotel room in Manhattan. So Epstein was held at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Lower Manhattan, one of the most secure places of real estate on the planet. And then Epstein is found dead of an apparent suicide. Now, the Metropolitan Detention Center is a U.S. Bureau of Prisons facility, which is operated by the Department of Justice. Right now, there's no investigation. Nobody got fired. And it's business as usual. I believe the superintendent was removed. But then none of Jeffrey Epstein's associates are being investigated for anything unusual or any wrongdoing. And according to Bill Barr, there's nothing to see here. Case closed. Well, what do you make of Mr. Barr and his refusal to prosecute anybody?
I thought he was a good man. I think he was a good man when he came on board. But with all of the, how can I say, intricate backgrounds of people, it's all tying into almost everybody with this Epstein thing. So his refusal to pursue it, like I said, I think he's an intelligent guy. Maybe there's nothing there. Who knows?
Right. But, we're coming on our next break. We'll take on the other end about the police commissioner. Stand by, everybody, on 75 Radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Last night's Democratic presidential debate in Las Vegas, the first debate to feature late-coming candidate Michael Bloomberg.
I know how to run a complicated city, the biggest, most diverse city in this country. I'm a manager.
But Bloomberg was also a target. Here's Senator Elizabeth Warren.
A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
Pete Buttigieg saying of the two current frontrunners in the race for the Democratic nomination, Bernie Sanders and Bloomberg.
We shouldn't have to choose between one candidate who wants to burn this party down and another candidate who wants to buy this party out.
While at a rally in Arizona, the president said he can beat any of the Democrats.
It's probably going to be competitive, but I actually think we're going to win by a lot, just like we did last.
This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
A Mardi Gras tragedy last night as a woman was killed when she was run over by a Mardi Gras parade float in New Orleans. The unidentified woman reportedly tried to cross between two sections of what was a tandem float when she tripped on the hitch that was connecting them. After days and days of heavy rains and flooding, the Mississippi governor is expressing some relief, but he's also issued a strong warning. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
Governor Tate Reeves gave an optimistic outlook on flooding in the state. High water is dropping below flood stage, but
we do not expect that the water level will drop below 33 feet until Friday.
Governor Reeves says thankfully there have been no deaths or serious injuries from the flooding so far. But for now, they're asking residents to stay out of their flooded homes. Reeves says damage assessments will be critical to meeting federal standards for aid to assist in their recovery.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Earlier this week, Donald Trump pardoned a couple of people. One was former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. And another notable personality was former Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick. Mr. Yerkew has an issue with letting Mr. Carrick be pardoned. Walt, take it away. What's on your mind with Bernie?
Well, you know, first off, it's not personal. I follow my president. I support my president. But I think a good constituent doesn't always have to agree with his president. In Bernie Carrick's case, you know, the man had a job. I'm not going to compare him to myself or anybody else, because that's what people are asking me on social media when I posted this. Is it because of you? You're not getting pardoned? No, it's not. Nothing to do with any of that. The issue is, number one, I don't see it as a good political move on Mr. Trump's part. Carrick is a personal friend of Rudy Giuliani, who we know is the Don's personal attorney. Carrick was police commissioner during the 9/11 attacks, and Rudy was mayor. So, you know, they worked together. My issue is this. Bernie Carrick failed on his income taxes. He evaded taxes. He hired illegal aliens. He lied to the government. Even when he had a job, it slips my mind. I don't know if it was in the Treasury or whatever after. He was offered the job by George W. to be the head of Homeland Security. And Bernie had to pull out because somebody was figuring out that he was evading his taxes. So he lied to the government. Stole taxes, I guess, stole money from the government by not paying his tax. All right, he got fined for $221,000, spent 4 years in jail. All right, that was his punishment. That was his punishment. He served it, kept his mouth shut, didn't say anything about anybody else, especially his buddy who just got arrested for sex trafficking. So, you know, like I said about Mr. Barr a little bit ago, you know, they're all intertwined. You know, once you start peeling the onion back, they're all intertwined. And I think it was not a huge mistake, but it was a big mistake by Mr. Trump to be influenced, I guess, by Rudy Giuliani to set aside his conviction. All right. Now, you know, I talked about him being on CNN and being a commentary on all kinds of things, including that jailbreak 5 years ago up in, Clinton, New York. You know, they just dragged this guy out of prison, shaved his head, shaved his mustache, put him in a suit, and stuck him on TV. And, you know, that's fine. You know, more power to him. But it's the pardon that bothers me a little bit more than anything else. You know, the man did not pay his taxes. Look at Al Capone. Al Capone did what, 14, 15 years in San Francisco's famous Alcatraz prison. Bernie did 4 years in Club Fed and got out and just picked up where he left off. You know, it kind of runs along the line, I hate to say it, that he was given a free pass, like thousands of people are given a free pass for doing stuff these days. I don't think it was a good measure. Mario Cuomo pardoned Jane Harris, the diet doctor murderer, After serving her 15 years. I could see a pardon if there's an extenuating circumstance. I think Ms. Harris was, you know, a little bit stupid, as they say, when she murdered that guy. There was an extenuating circumstance. She was being abused and used. In this case, Bernie Carrick said, nah, I'm not going to pay my taxes. Yeah, I'm going to lie about it. I'm going to hire illegal aliens to be my landscapers and servants in my house. You know, it just doesn't shine well with me. And with Donald Trump, doesn't exactly have an uncheckered past, and we all admit that, and we all know that going in. None of them do. I just don't think it was a positive political move on his part. especially with Rudy Giuliani in between everything, you know, the Ukraine thing, the Russian collusion thing. He's, you know, he's been sticking his nose in there and giving bits and pieces of information. But he's never come out and said anything except on a news channel about what he thinks he knows. So I think that, you know, he's tied up with that fella who is with the sex trafficking. And I think maybe that might be one of the reasons why the guy was pardoned. So now he really can't be dragged in as a convict and be questioned about that. Now, if he was buddies with this guy in the sex ring and he was real tight with Rudy Giuliani, how far does it go? What's the speculation? You know, where can it end up? So, you know, I think there's a little bit more to it than that. I do respect my president. I respect his decision to do so. But like I said, as a good constituent, I don't have to ride on his coattails on everything that he does, like the Democrats did with Obama for 8 years. Nobody ever disagreed with anything he did. So, and that's my Andy Rooney for the day, sir.
Outstated. So you think Carrick was friends of Epstein?
Oh, no. He's got another friend, and his name escapes me now. That was just for sex trafficking right there in New York.
I
read it last night before I went to bed, and I can't think of the guy's name, but he wasn't at it for sex trafficking. So, no, it wasn't Epstein. But, look at all the connections. You know, it looks like, you know, turkey tracks in the snow. You know, they're all intertwined. Can't get away from it.
Right. Right. And like I said before the last break, nobody goes to jail. And it just, and I had so much hopes for Donald Trump. And then first he gets, what's his name, Jeff Sessions as Attorney General. And I said, okay, he should be shoo-in. Then this foolishness on Russia comes out. He recuses himself, and he turns out to be a nothing burger. And then Bill Barr comes out, and the left-wing media is, oh, no, it's Bill Barr. Oh, he's, you know, he's a no-nonsense type of guy. And, you know, everybody runs around free as a bird. Meanwhile, if you go 10 miles an hour over a speed limit in the District of Columbia, they're going to slap you with a ticket. And so I've read that D.C. issued $1 billion worth of summonses in 3 years, which is just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, D.C.'s still has a crime problem, even though, you know, I say they're building a Emerald City on top of a garbage dump. But, you know, these people just never go – they get caught, or everybody knows about it, but nobody goes to jail. I mean, you have sex trafficking. If you look way back in the 80s, the Franklin cover-up, you know, they were sex trafficking kids. And, you know, it just hasn't stopped. And it doesn't matter what party you are, Republican or Democrat, because, you know, they say absolute power corrupts absolutely. So let's hope that something does happen, but I'm not going to hold my breath. I've been in D.C. 10 years now. And again, the only people there's four people went to jail out of a whole thousands of just corrupt scumbag politicians. And the only reason why Jim Trafficant went to jail was because he spoke the truth. And he was a Democrat, and I think he would have made a hell of a Republican. But Democrat knew the district he lived in. It was like a Democrat stronghold, so he had no choice. If he wanted to go into office, he had to become a Democrat. But the Democrats hated him just as the Republicans hated Ron Paul. Just like the Beltway Republicans still hate Donald Trump. And now we talked this a couple weeks ago. Mitt Romney is a hero because, you know, he used his religion to vote for the impeachment of Donald Trump. So, which, you know, the Democrats will never look up to him. And, you know, they say they do now, but they don't look up to him. And now he's ostracized by the Republicans, and he was not even invited to CPAC. He wasn't going to speak at CPAC. He wasn't going to he wasn't going to be any panel person or anything like that, but they said no, he's not even invited to CPAC. But that's something we can get into the next break. Well, you got anything else before we go to our next break?
We always report the truth and we report real news. Blagojevich's conviction was commuted. In other words, like time served. He hasn't been pardoned.
Oh, I thought he was pardoned. They say he was pardoned. But anyways, all right, well, see, his sentence was commuted. He was not pardoned. But, a good Chicago Democrat supporting President Trump on air. Wow. Let's hope he doesn't get Epstein. Anyways, when we come back, we'll talk about what's coming up for 75 Radio, including CPAC, auto racing. Hopefully we hear from our not-so-60 intern this year. All right, stay tuned, everybody. We're going to close out the show. Coming right up.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheep herder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. You've heard the name Lavoie Finicum. Now, hear Lavoie Finicum in his own words.
Honor the Republic. Uphold this Constitution. Let us quit talking. Please take peaceful action. That is why I'm here.
Liberty Hall Lectures presents Dead Man Talking, screening and fundraiser. Come together with us to view the newly completed DVD series, Lavoie, Dead Man Talking, Episode 2, Friday, February 28th at 6 p.m. at Liberty Hall in Far West Utah. Come meet Lavoie Finicum's widow, Jeanette. Learn about her mission to bring about justice for the wrongful murder of her husband. That's Friday, February 28th, 6 p.m. at Liberty Hall, 3677 North, Highway 126 in Far West Utah. There's no need to RSVP. Admission is free, and your generous donations are appreciated. Join us Friday, February 28th at 6 p.m. at Liberty Hall. This event is sponsored by One Cowboy Stand for Freedom, the Center for Self-Governance, and the Loving Liberty Radio Network. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. Thank you, James Edwards and John Anderson. Anyways, some of the news and notes about the show itself. Mr. Q has a new Twitter handle. Walt, why don't you tell everybody your new Twitter handle?
I have a PR guy. His name is Nick. We had to kind of like swindle out an account because we got tossed off last year. So we're going to try and see how long it lasts. It's at Nick St. John on Twitter, but it has my name, Walter Yerkew, with my shield number behind it, 10873. That's pretty much right now the only way I could get on Twitter. I'm going to try and do it to get, you know, my own name on my own Twitter account. But I'm available. I reached out some feelers to some of my old friends and followers. And just go ahead and follow me again, and I'll pick up where I left off last year, right before somebody I know made a threatening statement to an author of a shitty book, shoddy book. And we both got tossed. So
right. Well, for the record, that close and personal friend of yours did not make a threatening statement. I used a movie line from the world's famous most documentary ever made called The 7-5. Is one of your quotes. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Folks, you can follow us besides Walter at his Twitter. What's the Twitter handle again, Walt?
At Nick St. John. It's my PR guy. He's the one that doesn't send out T-shirts when he's supposed to. So,
right.
Just let me know either on Facebook, personal message me, or on Twitter, because T-shirts are readily available, and I'll make sure that Nick gets this stuff out in the mail when like he's supposed to.
Right, right. Also, the 7-5 Radio Show Twitter is at 75_show. That's at 75_show on Twitter. Also, we got a Facebook group, the75/75radio. Also, our email is 75radioshow. That's 75radioshow@gmail.com. We make it hard as possible. And the website to find all of this is on 75radio.org. That's 75radio, all one character, .org. Also, coming up, we have CPAC coming up next week. I requested media credentials, and as usual, CPAC is very squirrely, very, just squirrely, very weird on giving out passes to media. Years past, they've given out to every left-wing organization, every unknown blogger, but they denied Red 42 Radio. Last year, I was able to get it at the mercy of a guy who just probably felt sorry for me. But I will be there regardless. I might not be a member of the media, but I'm not going to buy a ticket because, frankly, it's just too gosh darn expensive. But I will be there. Hopefully, I'll be able to set up and broadcast, record the show at CPAC at National Harbor. That's going to be next weekend, the 26th through the 29th. I'll be there the 27th and 28th because Thursday and Friday are the big day. Saturday, it's a big party. Everybody starts going home. Also coming up, we have Topless Outlaw Dirt Racing coming up. May 2nd is the kickoff at the 411 Motor Speedway. Top prize is $2,500. Also, our sponsored car, Jeff Jackson, he has a new paint scheme from Shannon over at Full Moon Graphics. You would not believe the quality of what this car looks like. I'll post it on the internet, hopefully sooner than later. But, again, Full Moon Graphics, they've done some great work for us. Shannon's a great guy. We can't thank them enough. Also, our not-so-sexy intern, Mike Guerin, our director of marketing, he's done such a great job marketing himself. He now works at Boyd's Speedway in Ringgold, Georgia. That's right. Old Mikey Guerin works at Boyd's Speedway in Ringgold, Georgia on the weekends.
Speaking about Mikey Guerin working at Boyd's Speedway, he's like a kid in a candy store. He's got dirt under his fingernails, his toenails, and other crevices. He just loves dirt racing. He's friends with many, many of the drivers. He knows all the announcers. He is our hot ticket when either myself or Scoop get to the raceway. You know, we're treated very, very well. We get up into the booth. We talk to the announcers ourselves. We do an interview or two. And I enjoyed it. I went a few times last year. Never been to dirt track racing before. But I enjoy it. And, you know, it's fun. People are nice out there. You know, a lot of the women are easy on the eyes. And, you know, a lot of the women are everybody there is a fan. They love the dirt track racing. They love the roar of the engines. They love the smell of the hot dogs. It's a family affair on a Saturday night at dirt track racing, whether you're at the I-75 Speedway in Sweetwater or Boyd Speedway in Blue Ridge, Georgia. There's another raceway in Blue Ridge, Georgia. All of these places that I went to last year, they are good, clean, fun, family-oriented, and they satisfy the racing mind. You can go into the pits and talk to the drivers. You can take pictures with the cars. It's really a good, solid night. Take your kids and your wife or your girlfriend, or both if you got it like that, and enjoy a good night out on a Saturday. And be prepared. You know, it's hot in those days and it's dusty, but you know, the smell of the exhaust and the fuel that they burn and the rubber and going around the track, it's just, you know, they go round and around and fighting for the finish line is quite the thing to see. Not as good as the crash that was at Daytona the other day. And, we thank goodness that all the drivers, including Ryan Newman, came out of it all okay. Ryan, as a matter of fact, walked out of the hospital yesterday holding his kid's hands as he walked out. So, you know, it's fun, but holy cow, it's dangerous. You wouldn't catch me in one of those cockpits of those cars. Even though you're surrounded by all that steel and roll cages and life-saving equipment, man, you got to have a good sense of mind of being tight with those cars like that. And they're not going, these dirt track races, they're not going slow. They're flying around that track. They're flying around the track so much that that rear end can spin out on a turn. So it's quite the spectacle to go ahead and see. And they always fill up. They always fill up these racetracks. And like I said before, I had no idea that it was that popular. I know I've watched them go into the racetrack with their cars on the trailers and such, but I had no idea that it was that big. So Mike Guerin, like I said, he works over at the Boyd Raceway, and he will be there every Saturday night at least and during the week. He gets things ready for the drivers. He makes sure that they all have their stalls numbered and they get to where they're supposed to go, and they all have a good smooth time because of our not so sexy intern Mike Guerin. So best of luck to him during the race season. I don't know where Scoop went. Scoop cut out on us, so I'd have no idea where he went off to. But we're doing all right. We got a few more minutes here. I want to take the time out to thank a few people for writing emails in. I try to answer them all.
Hey, Walt, I'm back.
Okay, all right. I was just thanking people for writing out emails and sending them into our website and such, and I try to answer as many as I can. So go ahead, take us out towards the end.
Yeah, like I was saying, I was looking for can't wait to the rest of the year because we're going to have Trump rallies, we're going to have debates, we're going to have some foolishness going on over on down here in the swamp. Hopefully Mike Guerin can come on again. We're gonna have our old guest back, Joe Johnson, Lionel Black, Rosebud Harris, who did a great job filling in. But it's going to be a great year. Also, hopefully a CPAC, my computer won't crash again. But I guess that's going to be it for another week. Next week we'll be recording at CPAC. If you could please stop by and say hi. be harassing all the women again. Hopefully they won't kick me out. Peter Scoop stand for Walt Dierke, telling everybody, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. Stalling everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.